Lovely to have you, David, as always. Is it a worthwhile stock market at the moment, Mr. Shapiro?
Crazy, absolutely crazy. But I can live with crazy sometimes. I'm not going to try to talk it down. But today, the move is coming from China. I haven't heard a convincing explanation why it is as strong as it has, but it's gone through to the rest of the world as well. So we've got a very strong Europe. We're going to have another strong session in the US. And it comes at a time where there's so much political speech about, or political rhetoric about, the US election. COVID there is increasing at a rapid rate. In fact, globally it is. And we're still struggling to understand how long it's going to take for the global economy to unlock, you know, how long it's going to take us to get back to normal. But markets seem to have brushed aside, and I think driven by liquidity, people buying equities. Listen, Alec, we heard it 08, 09. We heard the liquidity story, you know, and it continued for 10 years. So I'm hoping this continues for another decade, because I haven't got that many decades left, you know, so I want to end up on a high.
I saw you talking about your dad, Archie, Mr. Gold. Wasn't that lovely, David, that you could just remember him in that way?
He would have loved this market, because when I joined in 70, I mean, gold shares were the only thing that we really dealt with in America, on the JSE, dealt with America, Paris, you name it. And it was a vibrant market in all our mining shares. And my dad used to walk around. He was a great gold bull, and he would walk around the floor with his big button, you know, buy gold. And he went through lots of ups and downs, but he went through the greatest part of the South African gold market, you know, when production was up at 1,000 tons, which I think was the peak. We're down to 100 tons now, but he would have loved this market, you know, and he never gave up his gold shares. You know, De Beers was his love. He dealt in more De Beers than anybody else did. But when I saw where we are now, closer to 1800, then I just thought of him. When he died, gold was 275. I think the peak that we got to in his life might have been at 87. I think they reached about 800 at one stage. I can't remember, but it was brief.
1980. It was my first month as a journalist, David, in The Citizen. Can you imagine your first month as a journalist, as a financial journalist, little trainee from KZN, very, very wet behind the ears, never been to Joburg before, and to this big, sitting in an office at The Citizen where we had Reuters tickers, and it was all the time, it was going crazy because South African gold shares were going higher. And Clive Roffey, who's still around today, used to predict gold fix to the dollar. But he didn't always get it right. But he would say, tomorrow, according to the charts, the gold fix is going to be $457.50. Eventually, it peaked out at $850. And that was, I just recall it because it was my first month at work. But just going back to what you said earlier about the crazy markets, are we going through, or are we living through, a period where Mr. Market has just gone dilly, or the stock market is telling us what lies ahead?
I hope it's the latter. There are times, there are places where Mr. Market has gone dilly, you know, such as Tesla, and there are a lot of smaller businesses that are being pushed through the roof. I'm not going to argue about Tesla. I can't. You know, I mean, every time we try to talk it down, it just keeps going higher, and he's got his followers. What I like to think is that the economy that we come out of is not going to be the same as the economy we went into. And I think all that's happened during this period is we've accelerated or transitioned a lot faster into this data economy. For example, over the weekend, Disney released Hamilton, which is a very popular musical in the US. I mean, you pay literally thousands of dollars for a ticket.
It's certainly in London. It's impossible to have gotten tickets unless you knew someone who knew somebody.
So they filmed a stage show in 2016, which they've now put on to Disney Plus, into the stream. And the amount of viewers, you know, over the weekend was staggering. And all it does is point to how things have changed. Yes, they sell a subscription at $8. It just came part of your subscription. But this is what we're going through at the moment. And I think more and more people are migrating to this economy and changing the way that we live. So I think things are happening there that I think are going to, that's Tesla, your chart on Tesla. It's just crazy. I'm hooked into that. I'm very much hooked into where this economy is going to be 3, 4, 5 years and the shape that it's going to take. You know, and I think along the line, I still believe that in the medical area as well, a lot more money is going to be spent. No one wants to be caught in the kind of trap that we found ourselves now. But Tesla is a different story. I need someone to explain that, you know, 320 PE, but he's got his followers. And whether they're buying his battery technology, whether they're buying the fact that he's well ahead of the rest of the pack, and it's going to take a long time for people to catch him in that. If you go into European cities, if you go into Hong Kong, you go into not necessarily New York, Sydney, I've seen many, many Teslas. It's a status symbol and people love it. But can you justify these prices? I'm not going to even attempt to discuss it.
I've got Tesla on the screen with the blue graph, which is Toyota Motors. And the outperformance over the past year has been 418%. Okay, let's take it a little bit further. Say, take it over 3 years.
Yeah.
The outperformance there, 234%. It's just as though Tesla is the stock to buy. Toyota, which has now surpassed as in market cap, produces many, many more vehicles, is not in fashion anymore. So I suppose what we do have here is Mr. Market very excited about Tesla. The question really is this sustainable?
Obviously not. We know. But as Mr. Keynes used to say, you know, the market's irrational, but it stays irrational longer than you stay solvent, you know. And so I wouldn't bet against it. You know, that's the problem. I wouldn't go short of it, although the amount of shorts in Tesla must be astronomical. In other words, there must be thousands of people that have taken, or a huge amount of money that's gone short on Tesla, expecting it to fall. Eventually, they'll be right. It's going to, somewhere down the line, it'll flatten out and start to fall. But we don't know when that's going to happen. I see you've got Disney up there as well.
I like Disney. Yeah, I was just wondering.
You know, it's been hurt because they've closed down the theme parks. There's a lot more arms to Disney. And of course, ESPN, which is the sporting channel, has also suffered as a result because they're not playing any kind of sport in America. So from that point of view, they hurt. But on the streaming side, I think this is where we're backing them against Netflix. I think they're a cheaper entry and they've got content. The one thing Disney has got, it's got decades and decades of movies that appeal to families, you know. And if you've got a young kid stuck in lockdown, you better get the Disney Channel, you know, because I'm not sure they're going to warm to Netflix or to Hulu or to any of the others. I think this is the one. Spotify, great, yeah.
I'm very proud of that one because it was around about this level here in March that we bought it into our portfolio on the strength of the more aggressive move into podcasting, which is something doing ourselves after, I think, having done our homework. But look at that, David, $135. In fact, I think we put it in the portfolio at $126. There we go. If you were lucky, you would have even got it at even less, $117. But look at it today. It's sitting at $71.
Credit to you, because a couple of months ago, I would have, or even a year ago, I'd have said Apple Music, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, you know, all kinds of music stations coming on there, all offering the same kind of hits, etc. And yet they've just had an edge, and it could be the podcast. It's just that they seem to have captured the attention of music lovers. And I must admit that I've got all of them. I've got YouTube, you know, I'm a subscription junkie, you know, I just pay subscriptions. And the one I love the most is Spotify. But Spotify done brilliantly. And you're right, you know, going into podcasts, a master move.
Daniel Ek, the founder and CEO of Spotify, who is not yet 40. And Scott Hastings, the founder and CEO of Netflix, have got a similar philosophy. And they say that their competitor is not Apple Music or Disney or any of the others who are entering into this streaming field. Yep. Competitors are the linear operations, the networks, in other words. And if you look at Netflix as well, it's done great, but it hasn't, certainly it's not a Spotify, but it had already been identified a time ago. And I like that philosophy, David. When you look at the stream, only about 10% of the full package. So there's a long way to go if you buy that view.
I've also missed it. I think COVID or lockdown has helped Netflix more than anything else because they were starting to lose momentum. There was concerns about whether they could keep their subscription base going and that. And along comes lockdown and has just put them through the roof. Where their problem is that they've got to get content. You know, they probably released their arsenal now and they've got to make sure that they can keep it up. So they're probably releasing stuff now that they would have released some time ago. But I don't think people are going to go back on it. And I still think that globally they're going to continue upwards. The one thing that bothers Hastings and bothers Netflix is more the gaming side. I think that's more of a challenge. And my gaming play is Tencent. I'd rather go for the base, the platform where they actually play games, than rather the producers. In other words, the Netflix, Tencent is the Netflix, because this is where kids, certainly in China, are going to play their games. So that's probably their biggest competitor. But listen, it's exciting areas.